Welcome to Tribe Talk, the podcast by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, founder and CEO of Tribe of Women. During each episode, we'll hear from guests from around the world that connect to our mission to establish cultures of women supporting women and more good men, and to answer your questions about how to grow the Tribe of Women together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tribe Talk. We love these full episodes. Our interviews are amazing, and we appreciate so much the time that you take to spend with us. We are in season two of the podcast, so if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome, and I hope that you come back to listen to some of our past episodes, because we talk to some of the most incredible and wonderful people. Speaking of seasons, it's back to school season, and that is the topic of this episode. Don't stop listening if you are not a parent, because to be clear, back to school does not mean for parents only. We all have opportunities and multiple roles to play in the lives of children. We are neighbors and relatives and employers and mentors and friends. And guess what? They have something to teach us as well. And to talk about that and more, I am joined by Lorae as we talk with Debbie Jones, superintendent of Bentonville Public Schools. Debbie has been in all levels of education as a teacher, assistant principal, and principal, and she is now part of a very small percentage, only 14% of superintendents that are women, according to the Department of Education. And that is a vast gap, considering that women make up 72% of our educators in the U.S. So, in addition to bringing her perspective on the education industry, she gives us insight through her lens of tribe on children and our future that they hold in their hands. So, Debbie Jones.
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Awesome to have you here. So tell us a little bit about how you got here to Northwest Arkansas and what role you're playing now in the region.
Well, to be where I am today, which is a superintendent of Bentonville Schools, I'm constantly reminded of how blessed I am. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've had and I've enjoyed every part of my career. I began as an English teacher, and I've taught from 6th grade to 10th grade, all the way up, and multiple different things, but to have the opportunity to lead a large school district it's invigorating. Mm-hmm. I thought, where am I in my life today? And I'm fulfilled.
Yeah.
And my mind is challenged, which is really important for me.
Mm-hmm.
I am satisfied and happy with my relationships and building new ones all the time. So mm-hmm. you can see why I feel very blessed.
Yeah, very.
Good. And you've really done great things in your role, though. You didn't just step in and do the status quo. You have stepped out of that to make things that some would say impossible, that's never going to happen, or it would take years. And you've done it quickly and amazingly. Can you talk a little bit about maybe a couple of the programs that have come into place since you stepped in that really show a difference in education?
Sure. First of all, I have to say the environment was rich. I have an amazing team of leaders.
It's always helpful.
Competent, brilliant. Mm-hmm. They display the most amazing work ethic. And I can tell you from my top level administration, my cabinet, to the principals in the buildings, I've never worked with people that have worked so hard to get better all the time. And that's why we're able to do the things that we have. And one of the very first things that we've done that has really opened a path for the district and the community was to put together a 10-year plan. As you probably know, we're growing so phenomenally fast. We can't build schools fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so putting that 10-year plan together, being able to pass a millage to be able to afford that plan, has simplified the process so that our path is clear as far as providing facilities. But we're so much more than just providing that box for kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
It's really challenging the district to think outside the box. What can we do? And it may not be traditional education to provide kids the best opportunities wherever their interest is. And so Ignite is one of those programs. Ignite is truly the best professional careers program I've seen. And in my old role as assistant commissioner at ADE, I visited all of those innovative schools programs. And I was very aware of what the nation was doing with other programs. And I have not seen better. And it's really because of the leadership of really one strong woman, Teresa Hudson. And it's because of the community our businesses take on our students, and they give them real opportunities. I was at one business this yesterday, Rev Unit. It's a coding company. It was an entrepreneur startup. He was with us. Paladino was with us from the beginning, started when we started with 16 kids, and he's now hired three of our former students, and we talked with one. And to see the expression, he's doing expression on his face. He's doing exactly what he wants to do. He's driven. He's successful. But our students are working 2.5 hours a day in one of eight different career programs. And then we find we have to push them away. You know, there's only so much after work, after school that you can come back and do this. They're engaged and motivated by the work.
Excited.
They're excited.
We have loved the Ignite kids that we're working with. And I think that, you know, the great part of that, the idea that the companies pitch to the students. They're like, you know, we have to sell to the students that you're worth working with. Which is wonderful. And we've loved the team that came along. And what we loved is that it wasn't all women that believed in, or girls that believed in Tribe of Women. It was boys too.
Absolutely.
It has been awesome.
It was balanced. Amazing. It was great.
Well, you know, even today, about a week ago, I met with Rahul, who leads technology with Walmart. And they have the best coders in the world there. And when it began, they'd take a few of our students. We had to work through contracts, and it had to be confidential. The kids couldn't even tell us what they're doing on their projects. Today, they want every one of our coders they can get. And we have had the first year, we had one girl in the program. This year, we still just have one girl. And he was one that says, you have to get more girls in the program. And that's absolutely true.
Let's talk about that for a little while. So you are, as a superintendent, your school is a business. I mean, school is
absolutely
a business. At the same time, it all comes down to those students. And so that's a huge job in and of itself. So what are you seeing? What are, I know that from a parent perspective and all of these different school models that people are looking at, and as Lorraine was saying just a few minutes ago, how do we get kids to be the whole self? How do we tell them who they are is exactly who they need to be, and foster and feed that? And then let's talk a little bit about what we're doing for girls specifically.
I have several examples of that, and you have it exactly right. They have to find themselves first. And that's, if you think back to middle school and junior high.
Please, no. We don't want to do that.
Wasn't it awful?
It was so hard.
We have this phenomenal teacher who has a group, and I had the opportunity to speak with them, and it's called Muscles and Makeup. And she is a brilliant coach teacher. She engages the girls. Last week they were using mascara. They had it all donated, and she was showing them how to put it on, but it also guided and opened the door for a conversation, and she talks about healthy body, healthy habits. When I had the opportunity to speak with them, they asked questions that you would expect of junior high girls, but there's still questions that we answer as adult women, and they were so important. And, you know, a lot of my advice, the advice that we have today is 50-year-old women. Well, I'm 52. Y'all aren't that old, but
Actually, tomorrow
it's,
I'll be that
old. Congratulations. It comes through, you know, pain and suffering, and you learn lessons along the way. And so to share those lessons back with the girls, some example, some of the very behaviors that they experience in junior high with girls talking about each other.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
True. We see that in the faces of women today. I heard you speak of it when you walk in a room, and every woman can relate to that, especially if you have some degree of success. One of the... I'm most fulfilled today because I feel like, number one, I'm centered. I know who I am. I'm happy with myself. The cellulite and wrinkles and all, I'm happy with that. Yeah. But I also, I'm happy because I take the time to stop and build relationships with people, and especially women. When I see, for example, this leader of this Muscles and Makeup, when I see she's trying to do, I want her to be successful. I want to help her along the way. It's I'm raising two daughters, one son, and it's more success for me today to see them successful in their careers than my own personal success. And that is when it's you're the happiest that you can be. And so I want that for other women and men. I want them to be successful. But going back to really what do we do within the school district, we pay attention to kids. We have conversations. We work on that, their center. Where are they? Building good character. But then also, we, when they get to high school, and a lot of that is developed, we work on providing them opportunities. And when we talk about opportunities as a school district, we have to be aware of the future. We can't continue to offer programs that will not lead them into a successful career.
That's
it will
the
help
truth.
Them step out of secondary, be without a job or without a direction. And I think colleges need to feel the same responsibility. If you're offering a program of study and a student graduates and they can't find a job that pays them to serve a family, then they don't need to offer that program.
Much less pay their student loans.
Absolutely. And so we have a responsibility. So how do I stay up to date? I talk with my business partners, the ones that are really successful. And when I talk with parents, they have to be able to see the future that doesn't exist. And that means artificial intelligence. That means heavy coding within the careers. There certainly is still a place for artists, but that's art sometimes needs to be directed in a career. They need to have good entrepreneurship skills, and they need to have a business plan. And so that's how we raise successful women and men, but it starts with building really good character in kids all the way up.
So I love that you've just cast this huge vision and this future. Or from middle school kind of is where we're starting, that we all have these pangs of memories. Middle school on, I think that, you know, as parents, and obviously you're a parent too, you know, it's overwhelming. It's very overwhelming. And one of the things I love that you said in the description of the mascara and muscles, and that could be criticized like, oh, well, why are we talking about makeup? But the key to that is we need to meet them where they are.
Absolutely.
Yes,
we need to meet them wherever they are. And you, like you're saying, that mascara is just the entree into a conversation. It's a conduit, and it's a way to go where they are. And we're so often critical of where they are, right? How many of our parents and grandparents, always the generation ahead of us, they were like, well, back in my day, I did not do it that way. And like you're saying, they're not going to. So how do we meet them where they are, and how do we have those conversations? And so then back to the other comment that you made about mean girl culture is exactly what you're talking about. How do we raise the, you know, consciousness of mean girl culture? And what we talk a lot about is that it's not about you being a mean girl. It's about you participating in a certain culture that is perpetuated.
Instead of supporting each other.
And so as soon as you're aware of that, then you can look at it and choose whether or not to participate. But how do we give young women, middle school and on, and then women, because eventually we're out there.
It impacts,
we're out here doing it.
It impacts that, those times, yeah. And the reason we all flinched,
yes.
When you say junior high school,
mm-hmm.
Yes, it's hard, and there's hormones, and there's learning, and there's, you know, hygiene and growing and boys and all kinds of things.
How do you see us helping girls get those tools?
There's never been a more critical time. And because of social media and how easy it is to insult people and bully people, that's a real problem in society.
Mm-hmm.
And how much time kids, all kids and adults, are on their phone unsupervised,
mm-hmm.
It opens the door for a lot of that to perpetuate and blow into monumental proportions and have huge consequences. I'll give you an example. Sometimes when they think they're playing, they may post, don't go to school tomorrow, there is a bomb in the school. The consequences for that simple post, when there really was no threat, is expulsion from school and police charges. Well, there
are, they don't realize the seriousness.
They don't. Yeah. But in the same sense, mm-hmm. they don't realize the consequences of posting hateful things to other people or about mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. But while they may not be as serious on the discipline end, emotionally for other kids, it's very serious.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest things I think that parents can do is remember back to junior high. Don't always think your child is innocent, because they will make mistakes. They do.
Mm-hmm.
But also closely supervise what's going on through all the social media. And there's so many different sites mm-hmm. out there that are created to be secret.
Yeah.
Like Snapchat. That's
yes.
how kids, I'm told they don't text anymore, they Snapchat. But
yeah,
one of the most important activities that a parent can do is get your child involved with community service in helping kids
that might be
Special Olympics,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we have a polar plunge Saturday. There is always an opportunity for your child to work with other kids unlike them. Work with
mm-hmm.
kids that aren't in their social circle
yeah.
and
yeah.
let them give back to the community and let them see, because I can promise you, all girls out there aren't mean girls.
No. Mm-hmm.
There are wonderful girls.
Mm-hmm.
And what the characteristics I see in those girls is they're out in the community, they're very involved in activities, they're on teams,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and they understand a bigger picture of the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And even the ones that are, it doesn't mean that they just are.
No.
They just don't have the tools and the guidance
and
mentoring and all of those other things. One of the things that comes up so often in Tribe Talks are stories of, I had this experience, I learned from this experience, I grew up, I changed my behavior. Or mm-hmm. the other one is, as we're telling stories, they will even have an epiphany of, oh my gosh, I did that.
Right.
Not even knowing that it was happening in the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've
sure.
had that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think when you're talking about, it's just, you know, they just don't know what else to do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when we need to get somebody out of our lives or out of our social circle, or somebody's mm-hmm. not good for us, if we don't know how to handle that, we're not going to handle it well.
Right. And many times we don't. And then media
yeah.
popularizes
mm-hmm.
mean girl culture and
yeah.
makes it
yeah.
exciting and cool and interesting. And so it's easy to gravitate
yeah.
towards that and get wounded by it and play that role.
So a lot of media monitoring. And so what are some of the ways, do you think, and I have kids, and we actually just had a conversation, my husband and I, this morning about how do we give them the tools to manage themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're not always going to be around,
mm-hmm.
right? So how do we help them with that?
Well, first, having that relationship where they can communicate with you
mm-hmm.
so that they come to you when they're being challenged
mm-hmm.
or when they don't know what to do. That's critical. Just having conversation. And it's the hardest thing for us to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what we're thinking, even when we're not critical of what they're telling us. You know,
mm-hmm.
they know.
Yeah.
You don't have to be critical. I've learned this. And I was one of the, with my first child, she was like a guinea pig. I was so tough, you know.
Amen.
I look back and
I
think, oh, I had to have the matching bow and the lunchbox. And I was so hard. And when she would mess up, and we all have,
mm-hmm.
that there is not an adult among us mm-hmm. that can't look back and say, wow, I screwed up in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I am who I am today because of the biggest mess up in my life. It brought me to a place where I feel whole, and I feel I've learned, and I feel like I'm a better person and I'm a happier person. But if you haven't screwed up yet, here's what I tell people oftentimes. Yours is coming. I'm glad my biggest one's behind me. It's coming. And so we have to show each other grace.
Yeah.
And we can't be judgmental of people. And I am not. I have lived some hard times. I heard a Navy SEAL say Sunday, forged by adversity. He's strong. It's like metal. Yeah. He's strong because of the hard times. And I could relate to that. I'm like, that's me.
It is. I've always raised my girls. I have four girls and then one boy. Mm-hmm. And I've always raised them and him too with, if you don't make mistakes, you're not trying hard enough. Because when you put yourself out there, you're going to make mistakes. And they've always known that when they do, they have a soft place to land and work it through.
And that fear of failure that they have and that perfection paralysis and all of these things that manifest. And and that's the other side of it. While being there for them, we also, and I just talked to a friend this morning going through things, and actually she was one of those friends who my daughter's a little bit older than her son. And she at some point in time said, oh my gosh, I've got no more room to talk. Because her son was going through some things and my daughter had gone through some things. And I thought, well, at the same time, I wonder when we ever have room to talk. Because exactly what you said, if you haven't gone through it, you're going to. And as parents, a lot of times we judge other people's parenting, right? And what is or isn't. And the reality is that our parenting, no matter how good or faulted, which mostly faulted, that child is who that child is. And they're going to have to go through things the same way that we went through things. And so I think the other thing is not judging each other as parents, especially as moms, the mommy wars. Let's move on from that, please.
Huge. Yes.
And teachers, oh my gosh, teachers have the hardest job on the face of the earth.
Yes, they do.
They are parent and disciplinarian and all of those other things. How do we help kids, like giving them the soft place to land, but also letting them fail and have those hard lessons, but know that they're supported? What are some of the good
Well,
ways
that's
that you
one
see
of the toughest
that?
Things to do as a parent is to let them fail.
Don't bail them out.
Don't make it okay for them to take an easy way out. And the best way I can tell you that, and I'll tell you this as a parent because that's where really I'm more experienced. My daughter that went through engineering, and I asked her to pick a program that had a job attached to it. And so we did that little drop down, and she'd name careers, and there were many. I said, no job, no. Yeah. And so she chose engineering. 4 weeks into school, she called me and she said, Mom, this is so hard. I need to drop some classes. And I said, Jenna, anything that's hard, anything that's worthwhile, that has a job, that you're going to be able to support yourself and a family's going to be hard, don't run from it. You're not dropping your classes.
Wow.
And she made it through those, and she's very successful today and happy and fulfilled. So you have to be that foundation to tell them you can do it. Don't quit. Don't let them quit.
Don't quit.
Don't let them run from things that are hard. Or there are harder times down the road. Have them face that. Equally, my son, 4 weeks into engineering, different type of engineering, called me and said, Mom, this is so hard. I want to drop this class. I said the same thing to him. No, you're going to make it. Yeah. You don't have to make straight A's. And they were accustomed to making straight A's. It's that perfectionist. You're not going to do that. But life is not about straight A's.
Right.
And that is one thing in helping them along the way. I think you have to be a strong parent and be there when they're tough, but also you can't do it for them. I'm going to tell you another story. That same daughter that did an internship, and a really great internship as an engineer, and it was in a paper company, and she was walking through. She called me at 7 a.m. one morning crying, and I thought, oh, she's had a wreck. I was terrified, and I said, what's wrong? Mom, these gross men keep looking me up and down. It's just gross. I can't stand it. I said, Jenna. Okay, and for just a moment, if we can understand this victim mentality, yes. You're thinking, this is a great internship. This is great for her career. Are you jeopardizing anything? And I said, none of that matters. I said, you turn around and you put your finger out and say, you are not going to talk to me that way. You're mm-hmm. not going to look at me that way. And just keep going. Whatever you do, don't show that you're scared. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to tell your supervisor, hey, I did this. Yeah. And then the little mommy part of me said, and make sure when you walk to your car, it's well lit, you
yes,
know?
Yes, yes,
but
of course.
We can't teach them to be victims, and no. we can't always do it no. with them. We're not going to be right. at work with them.
No.
So you give them the skills that they need to stand up to people.
Absolutely.
I believe in that very strongly.
I do too. Me too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's learned behavior a lot of times because mm-hmm. this culture has taught us to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we empower one another, strengthen mm-hmm. one another? I think
back.
That's happening. The climate is rich for yeah. it right now.
Absolutely.
Yes, I really mean, it's is. The time is now, like the song, mm-hmm. the song suffragettes say, time's up.
Yeah, exactly.
We're locking arms yeah. and going, no more right. victim.
Yeah.
We are strong and we are capable. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think we can't stop saying it. And the reality is that especially with kids. I use the seed planting analogy all the time, metaphor, because, you know, we can plant seeds. We need to plant seeds. We need to say the things, whether they're listening or not,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to be there for them when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be reinforced somewhere else. I don't
whether
know if
we
you
see
get
it or not.
Yeah, I don't know if you get this experience, but, you know, you say something to your kids and then somebody else says it to them and then they go, Mom, look at that. We're like, oh, yeah that sounds familiar. That's great. I'm glad you're
yeah.
glad you listened to it from them. All right, whatever. But, oh, well, I love this conversation.
I do
it's
too.
Been so good.
I think the most valuable thing that we can give our kids is time.
Yeah.
Away from our phone, very engaged, listening and talking, and just give them time.
Yeah.
And don't be fearful of messing up, because you give them that time, you talk with them, the right words will come. You
That's
can't
true.
You can't plan for the challenges
yeah.
in their path
be
or
there.
In your path.
Be there, be present.
Be there and be present. That's yeah. the most critical thing.
Yeah. And people, no matter who they are, children or not, unless you do the work to form your relationship with them, they're not going to listen. They will
mm-hmm.
listen when there's a relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
That's hugely important in this age of technology that we tend to amuse ourselves to death.
Mm-hmm.
I
love that.
You know, that's the key with the teacher in the classroom too. This very same mm-hmm. thing that teacher is doing. She's building the relationship first. And when you build that, students will do anything to achieve in your class.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's great. All right. So our last question always is, why do you believe in tribes of women?
I've learned to believe this because we can't do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to have challenges. We're all going to mess up, and there will be times in our life where we feel we're solely alone. But you're not. And when I had the chance to speak with about 400 women, and I saw them all shaking their heads and tears, we have the same experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much better to walk through this life with people holding your hand. And if you have to be the first to share, you'll quickly learn that other people will nod their head with you and say, I've experienced just that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes life richer. It makes life better. And I see it more than ever in running this school district, and I'm surrounded by some really brilliant women, and they would do anything for me, and I would do anything for them, and we all know that. And so it just puts us, it makes our life more fulfilling to have people doing this life with us.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's perfect. Do you believe in tribes of women? Join the movement in our newsletter for exclusive content by going to tribeofwomen.com. Click on our podcast tab and support us through Patreon by clicking Be a Patron. Follow and rate the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and other major platforms. Then follow us for inspiration, motivation, events, and more on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter using @tribeofwomen. Thank you for being here. Please share Tribe Talk and Tribe of Women with your tribe. to grow the tribe of women together. Until next time.